Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Let us pray. Lord God, Heavenly Father, we ask that the power of your Holy Spirit will open our hearts, our minds, our souls, and our ears to, as Martin Luther says, read, mark, and inwardly digest your word. May it be our nourishment today. In Jesus' name, amen. So I've always wanted to say this, and I probably will never get the opportunity again to say this, so here it goes. Pop quiz. You ready? So we're going to do a pop quiz, and you're going to answer the questions. Whoever gets the most right, I will pray for your team to win the Super Bowl, unless it's the Patriots. Deal? All right. First question. Vulnerability. How would you define vulnerability? Weakness. Okay. What else? I don't know if it's a lack of faith, but we'll talk about that. Openness. Okay. What else? Being transparent. Very good. Anything else? Being loving. Okay. Showing up. All right. These are all good answers. Very good. All right, so we'll see which team wins. Second question, we're not done. What does vulnerability have to do with living in Christian community? That's a tougher question, isn't it? What does being vulnerable have to do with living in Christian community? Sharon?
We open ourselves up to others.
Okay. D, all the above that we just mentioned. Okay, that's a good option. Right, good. You're a teacher, I can tell. Anything else?
We expose our own faults.
Mm-hmm. Well, I like that. Very good. That's why you're in Mensa. Any other thing? Any other ideas? All right, last question. Why is vulnerability crucial to sharing our Christian faith? Why is it crucial to sharing our Christian faith, especially with those who don't believe? It lets people know we're not perfect. Thank you. I'm sure your wife agrees with that. Pardon? Because the other person you're sharing your faith with is vulnerable too. Very good point. What else? God's strength is made perfect in our weakness, which is our vulnerability, right? Why else? Any other ideas? Because we're all sinners, right? These are great answers. So I'm done with my sermon. Great job. I'm done. No, just kidding. So here's something that shocked me this week. I saw this story. And when I first saw it, I thought, you know, I'm just going to pass by it. But then I went back and read it and reread it and reread it. And every time I read it, my heart sank lower. There was a young lady who was on the gymnastics team for the United States who was a victim of Dr. Nassar, or however you say his name. I really don't care. He's not worth knowing anyways, in my opinion. He was a victim. She was a victim. So she went to her church to reach out to those at her church and their pastor to say, listen, I've gone through this abuse. I need help. The church not only turned their backs on her, but they ostracized her, not believing her story and not helping her. But this is being published and going out about Christianity. And this happened in the evangelical world, which doesn't shock me because in the evangelical world, vulnerability doesn't exist. In the evangelical world that we live in today, that rules the roost, we are perfect, we are strong, we never admit we are weak, and heaven forbid, we're sinners. But the reality is, this young lady was looking for help and ostracized, kicked out from her church. And what scares me is the rest of the world sees stories like that, and what must they think about the church? You see, I experienced it too when I was vulnerable at a church. I'd shared with them my PTSD, and the next thing I know, I'm out the door. It happens in our Christian circles. It happens all too often in our Christian circles, and that's what Satan wants to happen, because he doesn't want us to share our weaknesses. He doesn't want us to be honest with each other. He doesn't want us to be truthful with each other and open with each other and to hurt with each other and to walk with each other and to love with each other and to bear one another's burdens. Because when we fail to do that, we fail at living the law of Christ, which is the law of love. And the church is destroyed. People go to Facebook to find their support. They go to Starbucks to meet with others to find their support. They go to other things like drugs and all addictions and name it to find their support. And the church has failed miserably. But Paul calls us today in our gospel lesson to be vulnerable. Vulnerability is uncomfortable because at the heart of vulnerability is a word we don't like. Does anybody guess what it is? Sin's a good word, I guess. Whoever said that, very good guess. But it's change. And Lutherans don't like change. Do we? Christians don't like change. Change is uncomfortable. Change is not what's in our vocabulary. Change makes us nervous. It makes us anxious. But at the heart of vulnerability is change. Why would I say that? Because at the heart of being vulnerable is change. Because in order for us to be able to be vulnerable, to open our lives to others, to share our existence, to share our story, we have to change the way we think, to change the way we act, change the way we love, and change the way who we are. Fortunately, as we go on in the message, we'll see that that change occurs by the power of the Holy Spirit interacting through the power of the Word and the power of sacrament. So that change really isn't dependent upon us, although it is in the sense that we need to open our hearts to that change. The change is dependent upon the Holy Spirit. Paul says in our lesson for today that the gospel is its own integrity and may be preached with integrity. The gospel has its own integrity and may be preached with its own integrity. In other words, we must step aside and let the gospel be preached with truth. In order for the gospel to be preached with truth, we have to step aside with our boasting. We have to step aside with our arrogance. We have to step aside in our sinfulness. We have to step aside in our pride. We have to step aside in whatever it is that that affects our life. We have to step aside into vulnerability so that God will use us, his strength made perfect in our weakness, as he says to St. Paul later in his writings. We have to step aside to be vulnerable so the gospel will take root and work in our lives. It's part of our testimony, which we'll talk about in a little bit. Paul says to those under the law, he became as one under the law. To those who are weak, he became as one who was weak. To those who were hurting, he became one who was hurting. To those who were mourning, he became one who was mourning. Paul says, become all things to all people for the sake of the gospel. What in the world is Paul talking about? He's talking about vulnerability. He's talking about using our lives to reach those around us, whether it's our church family, our family at home, our neighbors, our coworkers, our friends, whoever it might be, to use our lives to become as they are, to open up our hearts and to share our experiences with those who are under the law, those who are broken, those who are hurting, those who are mourning. That is part of being vulnerable. Becoming all things to all people for the sake of the gospel is our call into action in life of opening up our heart, our soul, our mind, and the gospel through us and in us by the power of the Holy Spirit so that the world around us may truly know the love of God. Now imagine if that young lady we talked about had walked into a church that was truly vulnerable. Imagine if I served a church that was truly vulnerable. Imagine if people could walk into the midst of our congregation and say, you know what? I'm having a hard time with this. And instead of going, oh, you hypocrite. I can't believe you. We embrace each other with the love of God and build one another up. Isn't that what the community of God is supposed to be? If we look at what St. Luke says in Acts chapter 2, the community of faith is a faith that is built in fellowship, love, and in the teaching of God's word. And when a community is built in those foundations, which is vulnerability, the Lord will grow the church. In fact, he added daily to the number of those being saved. You see, this is how the church is called to operate. This is the Christian life. The Christian life is one of change for the sake of the gospel, change that is rooted in being vulnerable. When we become real, when we become transparent, when we share the testimony of what God has done for us, others connect to us. Do you understand that? People in our society today, especially the newer generations, know when we're fake. Can you tell that Joel Osteen is fake? Yes, by all means. Can you tell that most TV evangelists are fake? Yes, by all means. Can you tell when a friend or a neighbor is being fake to you? Most of the time. It's not comfortable, and it's not healthy. The reality is, our newer generations, the younger people that we are trying to reach to grow our church for generation and posterity's sake, These younger generations want vulnerability. They need and crave true, genuine community. And I would go so far as to say is our older generations want that too. We just don't know it. Facebook has replaced that. Social media is a disgrace and has become a lump on the back of society today because it has destroyed true Christian community. Dietrich Bonhoeffer says that true Christian community can only exist in fellowship, love, and vulnerability with each other. The way Christ is experienced is when we are vulnerable and open to the help, the love, support, and sometimes the rebuke of our fellow Christians and our brothers and sisters. When you think about it, God became completely transparent, completely vulnerable, so that we might be saved. He gave himself up over to the human hands that mocked him, tortured, and killed him. He didn't have to do that, but he opened himself up. He literally poured out his heart. He literally poured out his heart so much so that he sent his only son, his only begotten son, the love of his life, into our world in complete vulnerability, opened himself up to everything that we would throw at him, all of our sin, all of our shame, all of our guilt, the trial and temptation of Satan, the hardships of life. He opened himself up to that. He opened himself up to being beaten and mocked and battered and bruised and killed so that you and I might know the heart of God, so that we might know the heart of God that truly loves us, so that we might know the heart of God that truly forgives us, so that we might know the heart of God that truly saves us, so that we might know the heart of God that looks beyond our faults and our sins and our wrongdoings and claims us to be his children forever, so that we can live with him in heaven. This is the God we have, who looks beyond all of our sinfulness and our past and our wretchedness into the depths of our heart by faith that he has given us so that we could be with him for eternity. God became truly vulnerable for us and for our salvation. He gave himself over for us. He became all things to all people for the sake of the gospel. He became all things to all people for the sake of the gospel. For the addict, he became an addict. For the sinner, he became a sinner. For the depressed, he became depressed. For those who mourned, he mourned. For those who were lost, he was lost. He was heartbroken at our sinful condition, and in our sinful condition, he reaches into our lives to bring us nothing but joy and salvation and forgiveness and eternity. This is true vulnerability. And brothers and sisters, that's what we're called to do. In Christian community, St. Paul calls us in our epistle lesson for today to be vulnerable, to change our lives and our hearts for the good of those around us in our Christian fellowship and our neighbors. It isn't a sign of weakness. It isn't a sign of lack of faith. It isn't a sign of doubt. It's a sign of strength. Why? Because God's strength is made perfect in our weakness. St. Paul promises us that. God's strength is made perfect in our weakness. So go and be vulnerable. Share your story with the world. Tell your testimony and what God has done for you. And in so doing, you will connect with people in ways that you could never think or imagine. You will love people like you've never loved people before, and they will love you back. And people, the people you reach, will experience healing, restoration, and salvation. Which leads us to the whole mission of the church, so that every knee will bow and every tongue confess that Jesus is Lord and Savior. In his name, amen.